Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. In this week's lesson, Dr. Williams encourages us to get to know this God that we serve. And friends, he titles his message, "I'm Glad to Be in the Service One More Time."
I'm trying to introduce the real God to you. Not the God you sing about, not the God you pray about, not the God you talk about. The God that you ought to know. That's why I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Hallelujah to the King. That's why I said it's well with my soul.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 17 down through 25. And he focuses on verse 17. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
You ought to be happy today to be in the service. One more time, you ought to be happy. Amen. Happy. Not what you don't have, not what people said about you, what they thought about you, but because you are in the service. You see, first of all, we don't come to church. No, we don't come to church. We are the church. And so wherever we are, the church is there. Hallelujah to the King. Lady ran into me with her basket in the store, and someone was with me, and they said to me, "You didn't say nothing." I said, "She apologized, it's settled. I have nothing else to say. I didn't get hurt." You see, your church is not coming here in this building. Amen. If your church cannot go with you tomorrow at work, then you don't have no church. I worked on the job and I went to school with several people in this church. Went to the college. I was in class, college with Brother Armstrong, witness to him. And my professor, one of them, selected me to be the assistant teacher. I said, "Why you want me to do that? I didn't come here for that. I'm working. I have two children. And now you want me to be an assistant teacher in this class?" I said, "I don't want to do that." He said, "It's too bad. I'm assigning it to you." And friends, he said to me, he's still alive, he said, "The reason I'm asking you, because you don't act like the other students." I didn't know what he meant by that. I was there studying, doing my job, being kind and loving. And he said, "But you pay attention. You don't ever lose your focus." I said, "Because I don't get in other folks' business. I'm here to learn. And once I get through, I'm out of here." You see, some of us have missed it. I'm serious with you. We have missed it. We read the word, God speaks to us. He speaks through us when we read the word. When we read the word is a guide unto our life. And if the word cannot, you don't understand the word, you read it, you go into your secret place and you pray, and then you got power in you from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just something laying around, heading around, doing anything. He keeps you from being nosy. He keep you in your own track. My father said, gossipers are the most dangerous people on planet Earth. Because they say what they don't know and they know what they don't say. That's what my father said. I don't know where you got that from. Today we want you to turn with, please keep your book in Colossians. Turn to Colossians, friend. And you want to turn to chapter 3. Please keep it in your lap. Chapter 3, Colossians. Verse 17, I want you to read and you go home through 25. But we're going to read today verse 17. Verse 17, Colossians chapter 3. Keep your Bible, that chapter open. We're coming back. And then you don't have to look for it. Verse 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word, now listen careful, what you say, what you do in word, what you say, words has meanings beyond you. What you do or say in word or what?
Deed.
What does deed mean? All right. Do all in what? Giving what? I didn't say that's what God said. Now, in this chapter, when you read it, you'll find out in this chapter, God gives us an outline for the whole family. He gives us an outline for our working period where we work. You'll see it. He gives us an outline for husbands and wives during the early time. The wife was a servant to her husband. She had no rights. If there's anybody on earth, I've said this 1,000 times, if there's anybody on earth ought to be praising God and thanking him for Jesus, it ought to be women. Jesus freed you. And you ought to be thankful to him. He will, he shall, he will help you. You may take your seat. Now, I want to talk about this morning, friends. This is very difficult for some people, but I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about this morning. Glad to be in this service one more time. I first heard that song in Macomb, Mississippi, when I was about 7 years old. And the church, I thought they were going to tear the church up. People were praising and thanking God for being in the service. Not coming to church. You come to church to be nosy. But when you come to be in the service, you come to worship. Amen. So Colossians, if you read it, has been called the epistle of Ephesians, written at about the same time. The contents of these two letters is very similar. Now you can read it. Timothy was associated with Paul in Rome. And friends, Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians to give them specific knowledge and advice, so that they would know and learn how to live their Christian life. We, many of us, been in church for years, and we have no public record about our Christian life. No public record about our Christian life. I was in Chicago when I received a phone call about Brother Brown had passed. It almost dropped the phone. It took all I had to move around and get me a seat. That man, 2 weeks before he died, came up here and told me about the Bible lesson and what it has done for him. Friends, where is your public record? Is there anything can be read from your record? outside of this building. Amen. Let's get into it. Whatsoever ye do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks to God and the Father by him. As we look today, I was downtown Sacramento when I came here. On a Monday, my sister-in-law was taking me to look for a job. My brother-in-law wouldn't take me. He says, I had been working. I needed at least 1 week's rest. But no man can rest, no father can rest, when he has two children at home, children, and a wife, and no job. How are you going to rest without a job? There is no such thing. So friends, we stopped downtown, and then in the store, in the window, it says, help wanted. My sister-in-law said, this would fit you, but they don't hire black people. I said, that's good, because I'm an American. And I'm not going in there as no black person. I went in, and a lady, middle-aged lady, how can I help you, sir? This was an all-women store. How can I help you? And I said, I saw you have a sign in the window, help wanted. So I came to apply. She smiled. She said, you want to work here? I said, I want to work wherever I can as long as I can take care of my family. She said, well, then we'll hire you. Fill out the application, and she hired me. I went in the back. I didn't see no man, no black face back there. But you see, the issue was I wasn't looking for no man. I was trying to find a job. And so, friends, she hired me. I went to another place, help wanted. I went in. My sister-in-law, bless her heart, she said, there has never been a black person work here. I said, that's right. But I'm an American. They hired me. I went home. I had two jobs to go back to make a decision. When I got home, the late George Allen called me and says, you don't have to take those jobs. I have a job that I train you to work on. Then they had a job the next day. The state was high. And I went, state of California, and I passed the test. In those days, they used to have it in the schools. But they didn't hire me because I wasn't a citizen, or rather a resident of California. They said, in 1 year, come back. This man hired me. Never worked in that field. But I was trained, you can do whatever you want to do. And so I got the job. He said, you can work and make all the money you want to. You can work 10 hours, 11, 12. For 2 weeks straight, I worked 16 hours a day. I didn't have to do it, but I did it. Because I had my family was still in Chicago. When I brought to California was a month's vacation check. It hadn't been cashed. I didn't have to work like that. But I learned in the early Christianity, you don't do always what you have to do. You do what you need to do. Amen. What you need to do. I'm just giving you an introduction. I taught Sunday school. I was teaching Sunday school in my church. And I was in my late 20s, mid-20s, and nobody wanted to teach that class because it was class between 14 and 16. And these young people were a little bit out of control. So I said, I'll teach it because I know if it had not been for God, I would have been out of control. A lot of you don't think like that, and that's good for you. When we got 30 kids in my class, one of the children, I saw him, he had After I started teaching, he had a shirt on. He had a hole in the sleeve. He had on some pants with a hole in the knee. In those days, boys didn't wear clothes with the hip out with a hole in the pants and with the knee out. Well, they didn't do that. That lowered their standards. I didn't say that. That's what they didn't do. So I called him over and asked him, was his mother in church? She don't go to church. So I said, well, you go home, and when you go home, ask your mother, can we donate you a pair of pants and a couple of shirts? He said, I will. Next Sunday he came back, said, Mama said it's well. And guess who he brought back with him? His mother came back with him. She had two kids, others, so there was three. So now, because of the witness, we have four new people. You're not listening. And so we only because we did what we were, what did it say? Whatever you do in words or deeds. See, if you just gonna talk all the time, that don't mean nothing. Nothing. And so we, by blessing him, we got four other people. Now listen carefully. By blessing her, we end up with at least 18 to 20 people joining that church. Split the Sunday school class out with what I had every year, two to three times a year, because you had to split it after you get X number of members. This is indeed doing something what you're supposed to do, not what you have to do. Amen. I was singing in the combined choir during that time. I sung, Laura, in the combined choir for a period of time, and I got out. And the reason I got out of the choir, I could not come to rehearsal and listen to these choir folks fussing and complaining. I didn't come for that. I came for the rehearsing. And Joyce said, and when I got there, I wanted to get through with the rehearsal so I could go back home to my sweetheart. Come on. I had worked all day, didn't come to rehearsal and listen to you with your complaining. If you can't come and learn, get out. And do something else. Amen. Because no rehearsal is going to please every member. And this choir said, we are not like that. Repeat it. All right. Now, I'll find out next week. All right. So, friends, what happened is now, someone also once said that there are three classes of people. There are those who watch things happen, those who make things happen, and those who don't know what's happening. Amen. Listen, when it comes to Church of God, or the Church of God, and we want things to happen, it's going to take some hard work. And what we find in the church, those who work hard and those who hardly work. People don't do much in church are the most complainers in church. Number two, people don't give in the offering is the much most critical people in the church. You know why? They haven't received the blessings of God. Amen. As we come to the close of Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul focused upon the subject of work from a spiritual standpoint. The emphasis is placed upon our service to God. And there are three truths that are brought to light about our, number one, our work, labor, you can put it another way, and service to God. First of all, First of all, friends, we see, look at it, we see how our service to God is measured. That's our service to God is measured by the standards of whatsoever we do. People say something, well, you don't really ask me, you tell me, that's right, that's biblical. I try to follow the Bible. If God gave you a gift, why should I tell you to get it? All you got to do is exercise it. And if you have a gift and you're not exercising it, you are denying the power of God. I'm giving you a minute. If you have a gift and you won't do nothing for the house of God to bless the people of God and increase the kingdom of God, you are denying what God has done for you. Let me go over here. You can look at church and talk about church. You can talk about God all you want to. It's not going to do you any good until you move and put some efforts in it. Amen. We miss so much. We miss so much that God want to do for us because we are stubborn. And the older some people get, the more stubborn they get. And Tommy said, let's move on. Church, again, the admonition is that we are to serve God in whatsoever we do, and nothing is exempted from this standard of action. Nothing is too big or too small. Nothing is, my friend, is to be treated indifferent, uncaring, or nothing is insignificant. Nothing is unimportant. Nothing is without value. I respect custodians in this church as well as I respect an usher. Because they are the one to make us be happy we come in here because we're in a clean house. Amen. No job working on behalf of God is to be treated less than. They are to be uplifted. Amen. Amen. Friends, listen carefully. Listen carefully. We are to serve God in the hard things, the happy things, the homely things, and the holy things. Listen, however, in verse number 17, you got your Bible open, look at verse 17, chapter 3. A specific admonition is found in that verse. Paul states, this is what he says. And whatsoever you do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Amen. When you do something, do you thank God that you are appreciative that he chose you? Lady, some years ago I was on vacation. And she died. Well, her mother died. And I called, and she said, well, I know you're on vacation, and but my mother's dead, and we would like for you to do the service. But who you recommend? I said, I'll come back. I'll come back and do it. Because she was a faithful member, and she mind her own business. Hallelujah. So I said to my lady wife, I said, I'm going to fly back to do the service. I said, would you like to go? You want to stay and I'll come back. She said, no, I'll go back too. So we came back and did the service. When I got back home, I hope you're listening. When I got back home, I paid for my transportation back to California. When I got back home in my mailbox, there was a ticket for us. to go to Hawaii. Come here, Holy Ghost, and help me. You cannot outgive God. No matter how you try, God will make the devil bless you and he can't do nothing about it. Amen. So I went to, we went to Hawaii and it was nice and warm. And I put on my beach shorts and I laid out on the sand and said, hallelujah to the King. Hallelujah to the King. If I could bless that family, why would I worry about what it costs? How long you been? You, Richard, you tell them. You ever heard me complain about making things nice for what it costs? I don't believe in that. You don't. You ask God. If God is leading you, he'll provide. Now, if you want it, that's you. Don't blame God if he doesn't give it to you. But when God give it to you, he'll supply what you need. Amen. All right, let's move on. We are to serve God. Remember now. Don't forget. We are to serve God in the hard thing. Now, a lot of people don't want to do certain things because I don't like that. That doesn't fit me. Paul states, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Friends, the phrase word or deed was common in Paul's day to refer to a person's total existence. It encompassed all that a person might do and all that a person might say. And so we are reminded that our service to God is not limited to one specific area. We are to serve God with all that we can do and all that we can say. We are to serve God with our lives, and we are to serve God with our lips. We are to serve God with our what? Lips. That means don't say what you don't know. Amen. Amen. I went to the hospital a couple of years ago, and in the hallways, a lot of family members and a lot of church people, and they was just out in the hall talking, and the room was full, and so when I went in down the hall, and they was saying, "Oh, Pastor, good to see you. We're glad you're here." I said, "Look," I said, "y'all come here." About 25 of them. I said, "You don't need to be out here talking. You need to be out here praying. That's what you came here to talk. You need to be asking for help." "Oh, okay." We circled in the room and outside the door and lifted that man up. They said he wasn't going to make it. "Come here, brother." They had given him up. When I went, when I got ready to leave, got down the hall, somebody ran to catch me. Said, "Pastor, he's sitting up. He's sitting up. He wouldn't have never been doing that if you had kept on talking."
Come on.
I'm not going to be able to finish. Let me say something that is scary. If Lamar was in here, I'd have him to come and tell you. I used to. God has blessed me to have visions. And I used to know. I used to talk about it. I don't do it now. I used to talk about, like this week, it's peaceful and quiet, I said, "Lamar, in 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to have 3 people to die. I've seen them already." Let me put it another way. We was at the old church, and I looked to the right, and one of my members was sitting there. And when I stopped looking, I saw him laying down. I went to his house the next day. He said, "Why are you visiting that? You ought to be resting." 1 week from then, he was dead. I used to see. That's why I don't mess around with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let me give you something even more dangerous. I said, "Lamont," no, I told him. I said, "Lamont, we just old church. We're going to have a business meeting. We're going to have a lot of trouble." I said, there's going to be a lot of trouble, but you watch God work. I said, now there are two of the trouble people won't be here. And Lamar looked at me kind of, you know, he said, are you all right? We had the meeting. We had a lot of problems, but the two was going to raise the problem didn't make it. And we had 90% superseded the troublemakers. I'm trying to introduce the real God to you. Not the God you sing about, not the God you pray about, not the God you talk about, the God that you ought to know. That's why I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Hallelujah to the King. That's why I said it's well with my soul. If you're saved and drop dead, you're just going higher and higher. But if you're lost, if you have not accepted God and you die, you're going to lift your eyes up from Jesus. You'll see him, but you won't be with him. God is speaking. Some of you are here today and you have not accepted God. I don't want to join no church. You're going to join something. You're going to join the Morgan and Jones, or you're going to join a church, or you're going to join the cemetery. You're going to join something. But it's so nice to know where you're going. Amen. He said, but brother pastor, if you die and where you want to be buried, and I said, it's already taken care of. That's not something I'm going to put probably. I got a place to be put in. Two. One in Mississippi and one here. Not because I'm talking about dying. It's because I don't want to put trouble on other people. Now let me say something to you this morning. I want you to write it down. You write this down so you won't forget it. I told you before, 20 years ago, I said, trouble is coming to us, and you need to prepare for it. If you don't, you're going to regret it. You never had more trouble than you're having now. And you haven't seen nothing yet. We're going to have some trouble in Sacramento. More killings going to be. More fighting, more home breakups, more children in trouble, and we can avoid it if we now get in touch with God. We can avoid it. You say, but I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible cannot be wrong. Cannot be. It's correct. I had my clock alarm this morning for 6, and just in case, I woke up at 10 minutes of 6. You know why? Because I had slept all I needed. Hallelujah. I promise you, if you turn to God, not talk about him, you watch him work in your life. Amen. Watch him work. He's working now right where you are. Have you felt the Spirit since you've been here? He's working. He's working. Let's move on. Friends, continue to pray. We need you to pray. Jesus, friend, listen. We are to serve God completely in every area of our life by doing it. All in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The text also reminds us that we are not only to serve God completely, but we are to serve God consistently. Amen. I call your attention again to the phrase that is found and repeated twice in this passage of Scripture, in verse 17 and in verse 23. Whatsoever you do, listen carefully. Soever you do. The verb tense of the word do is used in an imperative verb. Read it. An imperative verb implies two things. First, it implies a command of action. This is not merely something that is being suggested to us for our consideration. This is a matter that God is demanding, requiring, and commanding of us. We are to serve God in every area, every aspect, and every avenue of our lives. If it wasn't the young people in here, I would tell you something privately, personally. What happens in two people when they get married? The reason they never come to a complete happiness. It's available. Ask me privately, I'll tell you. And I'll guarantee it if you follow it. God has given us the plan. You got to work it. You have to work it. But Pastor William, you don't know the woman I married. Yes, I do. I know she's a woman. And all a woman wants is to be loved. I don't mean kissed, I said loved. And the second thing she wants is you to leave your back pocket unbuttoned. Amen. And Sandy said, listen carefully. However, the verb not only implies a command and action, but it's a continual action. The phrase could literally read, and whatsoever you do, keep on doing it. Amen. The point is being emphasized that we are not only to serve God completely, I repeat, but we are to serve consistently. This is to be the pattern of our lives. We are to serve God and keep on serving. We are to keep on in the South, keeping on. Is that if you and I are going to do anything for God, we must do it now. However, this is not a one-time event. Paul makes the point that we are to find our place doing what God wants us to do and then keep on doing it. Amen. Doing it completely and consistently, finally we are to remind ourselves that we are to serve God committedly. Are you committed to your assignment, church? Notice verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. The word heartily is literally rendered out of our soul. Church, it describes an athlete pouring every ounce of energy that he has when he's trying to make a home run. Amen. I'm going to stop there and come to the close, and I'll finish the other later. Come to the close of the message as I give you this closing. Listen carefully. I went to a store exactly 20 years ago to buy a gift for a person who was elderly and wanted something really nice. So I asked my late wife for her opinion, and she gave it. And I went and got the gift, and she wrapped the gift. Put in a nice box. And she gave me, she says, take this gift to her in this box. And here is a shopping bag. Put the box in this shopping bag. The shopping bag costs money. The box costs money, and the gift costs money. So I took it to the lady, and her daughter was there. And her daughter said, "This is something. You thinking about Mama, but all you have to do." I said, "But Mama thought about us." And I didn't want to tell her the other part. Mama is on her way out. She won't be here but a few days. And she wanted this gift. And I want to give it to her. Not the money. The gift superseded the money. Listen carefully. So 3 days, she died. When she died, they found an envelope with some money in it. We was building this church. She left this church X number of thousands of dollars. We didn't talk about it because we didn't want to tell her name. So we put the money on the church's account. Why you tell us that, Pastor William? I told you that because I was led to buy the gift. And we was running short, and the gifter made up for us. You missed it. He made up for us. And so I stand here this morning to tell you, there's nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been all over the country, 42 states in America, but I found nobody like Jesus. Every now and then, he might not come on my time, but he's never late. He shows up with something in his hand. He touches your body, your mind, your spirit, and your soul. And when you get through, you can lay back and say, "Thank you for all that you've done." When I look back where I came from, I can't help but to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be today? Where would I be if it had not been for the Lord? He kept my enemy away. Help me to see a brighter day. He's all right. He's all right. That's why we're going to sing, "Glad to be in the service," one more time. He didn't have to let it be, but thank God he did. And St. Paul, you get up off of your behind, your mind, and you get in God and watch God bless you. All that you need is in God's hand. He want to bless you. He want to soothe you. He want to make you happy. He want to give you what you need. He want to let you know there's nobody. Nobody like him. We're going to sing now.
Well done. Well done.
Glad.
Well done.
It's what? Glad what? Let us have it. Listen.
Oh, I'm glad to be in the service.
Glad.
I'm glad to be in the service.
Glad.
I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Oh, he didn't have to let me live. He didn't have to let me live.
So glad.
I'm glad to be in the service one more time.
Where you come? Where you come?
So glad.
Where you come?
I'm glad. One more time. He didn't have to. He didn't have to let me live.
Where you come?
I'm glad.
Where you come?
Oh, I'm glad to be in the service. I'm glad to be in the service. I'm glad to be in the service one more time.
Bring your cow.
He didn't have to let me live.
Bring your cow.
He didn't have to let me live.
Bring your cow.
I'm glad to be in the service one more
come?
Time.
Where you come?
One more time.
Where you come?
One more time.
Where you come? Where you come?
One more time. Oh, you didn't have to let me live.
Yeah. Where you come?
You didn't have to let me live. I'm glad to be in the service one more time. One more time.
One more time. Conversations you about God. I'm talking about the real God. The God that I know has power. You just trying for yourself. You can pray for Sister Armstrong today, and someone else may have a need. Stand right.